Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, August 6, 2020. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are on page XXVII, paragraph 8, the bottom of the page. Begins with, of course, an alcoholic, and we're reading through that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Liz T., 12 Traditions, Lois P. Reader of the text will be Kathy Jo P. Donna W. will read page 164, and Margaret D. will be our backup reader. The reference numbers for Wednesday, August 5th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 15,109. That's 15109. And for this morning, Thursday, August 6th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the share ID number is 15,114. That's 15114. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Nadia B., and announcements will be Robin P. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Liz T. to read the 12 steps.
Hi, good morning. This is Liz T. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Minnesota. The 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for your service.
Thank you, Liz T. And I will now ask Lois P. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Lois P., recovered in New York. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for the opportunity to share. Have a beautiful day, everyone.
Thank you so much, Lois P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page XXVII in the doctor's opinion, paragraph 8, which is the very bottom paragraph that starts with, of course, an alcoholic, and we're reading that one paragraph only. I will now ask Kathy Jo P. to begin reading. Good morning, Kathy. Press star 1 to unmute, please.
Good morning. This is Kathy Jo P., a recovered compulsive overeater in Minneapolis. Of course, an alcoholic ought to be freed from his physical craving for liquor. And this often requires a definite hospital procedure before psychological measures can be of maximum benefit. So for me, I was in OA in the 80s. And I gave up most of my liquor, most of my food. And one thing I'm going to say is that we cannot do this work if we're a little bit drunk in the food, if we're a little bit sneaking in a little bit of the food. And this disease is cunning, baffling, and powerful, and it can find its way in many ways, whether it's our alcoholic foods or our alcoholic food behaviors. So what I like to do is take this text and replace it, so where it says, of course, an alcoholic, to change that to a compulsive eater, bulimic, grazer, whatever you call yourself, and then physical craving for liquor. I need there to put in my alcoholic foods and my alcoholic food behaviors, which I guess I would actually put grazer here. And I came back to OA in 2012, but again, for me, even though I went away to a hospital treatment center for food for 5 days, I still managed to get some foods in. In fact, there was a food there that was not okay for me. So we need to work with our sponsor, our higher power, our nutritionist to define what is it that we need to let go of so that we can start working on the psychological measures. The Big Book talks over and over again that we have entire abstinence and a total psychic change, the psychological measures, the spiritual principles that start to work in us and that change for us. But again, we can't do that when we're drunk. And usually we recommend that people have 3 days of physical abstinence, entire abstinence, before we can start doing this work and get a new adjustment to life. And thank God in June 2016, when I worked with a sponsor, I was at a point of surrender. And by the way, I knew without a doubt what my alcoholic foods were. I just became willing and honest to talk about them, let people in. And the only way that we can do that is by letting the light in, being honest, again, with our sponsor, our nutritionist, and with God, at truly what works for us and what doesn't work for us. And one more thing I'm going to say before I hang up is at the LA birthday party, there was a guy who spoke, and he said, if we traded food plans today, I'd be dead tomorrow. So again, just because we find out someone else does it this way doesn't mean it works for us. Let's get honest, let's do the work, and let's get free. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy Jo P. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. Who would like to share their experience, strength, and hope on this message this morning? And we are on page XXVII in the doctor's opinion, paragraph 8, the very bottom of the page, starting with, of course, an alcoholic. Who would like to share this morning?
Kara L.
Kara L. Who else would like to share? Press star 1 to unmute.
Kathy K. from Sacramento.
Was that Bobby K?
Kathy. Sorry.
Oh, Kathy K. Very good. Kathy K. Thank you.
Liz T. from Minnesota.
Liz T.
Kathy M.
Kathy M.
Evan R.
Evan R. I'll take one more. If not, let's go ahead and get started with those. We'll start with Kara L., Kathy K., Liz T., Kathy M., and Evan R. Kara L., go ahead.
Good morning, my fellows. My name is Kara L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Thank you for everybody that's doing service on this meeting today. I love hearing your voices already. We have to be separated from the alcohol. You know, we may be freed from physical craving for liquor or alcoholic foods or whatever before psychological measures can be of maximum benefit. If you had asked me to read that 2 years ago, I would have said, I am. I wasn't being entirely honest with myself. I knew what substances, and I wasn't eating part of those substances, but I was still letting some of them sneak in. I wasn't reading labels. I was making qualifications on certain substances. Well, if it looks like this, it's okay. Not if it looks like this. And when my life was completely unmanageable and I needed to rework these steps, and a guide showed up in my life, a light showed up in my life, it was as if I was ready and my higher power helped me, and I just said, I know what my alcoholic foods are. And it wasn't anything earth-shattering. It wasn't anything. I knew. I put them into 3 categories, wrote them down, and I will tell you today, as a recovered person, I would not go near them as if they were a hot flame, because I would not trade what I have today, the connection, the absolute faith and the abundance of my higher power today, for putting one of those foods in my mouth. I wouldn't. And I think with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kara L. Kathy K., followed by Liz T. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. Thank you, everyone, as well, for giving service. I really appreciate the person who shared on the reading, primary share. I am coming off a couple days where I have not been refraining from my alcoholic foods. And so to have this be the portion that we read is really helpful to me. It reminds me that that the only way I get the spiritual recovery is complete abstinence. And I struggle with being willing to put that down. But I know today that if I can do it for just 24 hours, that I will begin to feel the freedom that I know I want and that my higher power believes I deserve. So I'm sitting here in Sacramento where it gets really hot in the summer, and it's a cool, crisp morning, and I'm looking out on my beautiful backyard. I have so much to be grateful for, and that perspective will continue if I can use my higher power to help me not pick up those foods for one day. So I'm grateful to be in a meeting this morning to get my day started. Thank you, everyone, for your service making this possible. I'll pass.
Thank you, Kathy, for your lovely share. And now we'll have Liz T. followed by Kathy M. Good morning, Liz.
Hi, good morning. Thanks so much for your service. This is Liz T., a recovered compulsive overeater in Minnesota. And I was just looking at this little paragraph. You know, it's only two sentences long. And, you know, part of it's on one page, and then you flip the page, and the rest is on the next page. And it's one that I've read many, many times and maybe kind of glossed over. And now today we're unpacking it and dissecting it and picking out the pieces. And it's so valuable and powerful to me. It's jam-packed with so much pertinent information in that short little paragraph. Of course, an alcoholic or compulsive overeater ought to be freed from his physical craving for liquor or alcoholic foods. This often requires a definite hospital procedure. And I've thought about this a couple different times when it's mentioned here in Doctor's Opinion. You know, not all of us get to go into a hospital and do a 30-day treatment center or something. Not all of us have that opportunity or luxury. Some of us do. I went into a 5-day food recovery retreat here in my area. Did I become entirely abstinent at that time? No, I was still playing around in the food. I smuggled my alcoholic foods to my room somehow, some way. I didn't know at the time they were my alcoholic foods. They were salted in the shell sunflower seeds. I mean, that seemed abstinent to me at that time. All I heard about was sugar, sugar, sugar. That's all that came into my ears. So I thought, you know, if I'm doing this compulsively, it can't be that bad. So that justification, rationalization, the truth of the matter was at that time I wasn't ready. You know, I hadn't, if it's still fun, I'm not done, right? I hadn't had enough pain yet at that time. It took 3.5 more years of, you know, struggle and pain and experimentation before I was willing to become entirely abstinent and then work these steps. So what did my hospitalization look like, you know, when I'm home with children? What did I need to do to take better care of myself, put that oxygen mask on myself, let go of some commitments, learn to say no to some things so that I could really prioritize my recovery as number one in my life. And anything that comes before my recovery, I'll eventually lose it. You know, my family, my job, my sanity. If I put anything before my recovery, I will eventually lose it. And so today I'm just grateful that I wake up in the morning and I'm excited to be in recovery. I'm excited and grateful to work the steps. And in the past, I wasn't always excited. You know, it was seen as sort of an obligation or a drudgery, like I have to do this or else I'm going to eat again and I'm going to die in the food, you know. But now it's like, I get to do this. I want to do this. and I want to keep getting better. You know, the clarity we get the longer we're away from our alcoholic substances, the more vibrant our lives become and our outlook becomes more clear. So with that, I will pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Liz T. Kathy M. Good morning, Kathy. Kathy M., star one.
This is Kathy M. I'm a recovered compulsive eater living in Dublin, Georgia. I came into program in the late spring, and I spent that whole summer trying to stay abstinent and work the steps. And I must admit that the mental twist was at play. The mental blank spot we talk about later on was at play. And I was truly obsessed with food, thinking about eating it and not eating it still, because I was not yet recovered. But one of the interesting assignments I got from a mentor was to read the doctor's opinion, which I had skipped over because it's not numbered. It's Roman numerals. Those aren't real numbers. And it was sort of like a foreword or a preface, and I didn't want to, I don't read those in books. I skip over them. And this one was important. And one of the things I was told to look for was, does it tell you that you have to put down your substance? In their case, alcohol, in mine, certain foods and eating behaviors. And I looked and looked, and I found a couple of places where it looked like it said that. And they said, look some more, and I looked some more. I finally came up with 9, and I don't know if that's the total number, but I found 9 places in which either Bill, when he was writing in between the doctor's statements, or Dr. Silkworth, stated that we have to put down the food. And what that food might be for me might be different from someone else. What the eating behaviors might be different. But I had to get brutally honest and put down everything completely so that I could have a relatively clear head. I could feel my feelings and I could work the steps with honesty. Thanks for letting me share.
Well, thank you, Kathy M. And now we'll have Evan R., and then we'll be opening up the lines for further sharing. Go ahead, Kathy, or go ahead. Yes, go ahead, Kathy M. I'm sorry, I think it's Evan R. Evan, would you share with us this morning, please?
Yeah, I'm here.
Thank
you.
Can you hear me? Yep, can hear you just fine.
Perfect. I'm Evan R., compulsive eater, Southern California. I like this meeting because you go line by line. I think this paragraph would be one I would maybe skip over because the one before and after are sort of very famous paragraphs for the program. But for me, talking about this made me think of, you know, the physical craving for food or liquor you have to be freed from. And it kind of made me think of when I was sponsoring myself in early years of the program, and I had the idea of kind of abstinent, and you sort of just kind of mess around with different foods, even though they definitely cause the trigger. And, you know, some days I could control the trigger, and then some days you can't. And for me, like, the scary part with eating is once you start, you don't know when you're going to stop. Could be a meal a day, a week, who knows. But I realize now with a good sponsor who runs a program that I respect, the accountability aspect is huge. And I really just sort of define the lines of what abstinent means to me, and then not being kind of abstinent, being fully abstinent. And, you know, for sobriety, like, it's a little bit easier because, you know, you can't be kind of sober. It's pretty black and white. But with a program, since you can define it and it kind of changes sometimes, it's a little bit tricky. But just try to have some, like, very clear boundaries that I don't violate. And that keeps me free from the craving. And essentially that will keep me happy and stable. So that's it. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Evan R. Now we're opening up the lines again. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day and in order that others might share their experience as well. And so I remind you that we are on page XXVII in the doctor's opinion, paragraph 8 at the very bottom of the page. that starts with, of course, an alcoholic. And who would like to share this morning? Please give me your first name and first initial of your last name.
Elaine G.
Elaine G.
Lauren H.
Lauren H.
Sherry H. M.
Sherry H. M. I've got Elaine G., Lauren H., Sherry H. M. Who else would like to share?
Margot P.
Margot P. Okay, let's start with that lineup. We have Elaine G., Lauren H., Sherry H. M., and Margot P. Go ahead, Elaine G.
Hi, everybody. I never realized that the compulsive overeating is an addiction. I mean, like, I'm having a really hard time lately because of the physical craving. You know, I mean, like, physically, I have a problem with my white blood cell count, and I don't know if that's causing me to be so tired, but when I wake up, I'm awake. But by 2 hours later, I'm, like, really tired, and it kills my whole day. I have to try to stay awake, you know, and then I try to take a nap, and I can't. But anyway, about the physical craving, it becomes a mental obsession, and all I do is think about food all day long. It's really terrible. It's, like, agonizing. It really is. And I call people on the phone. I read the book. I do everything, and then I finally give in, I'm going to tell you. Then I pray, and then I finally give in because I can't stand the agony of the whole thing. But anyway, and then that makes matters worse, as my sponsor tells me. It makes matters worse. It takes that much longer for me to become abstinent. But I have this one. Are we allowed to mention food? Excuse me. Are we allowed to mention food?
Yes, you can.
Yeah, well, you know, like I'm fine during the day, and then all of a sudden, before I go to bed, I go in the refrigerator to get something to drink, and there are my clementines, and I end up eating two of them, and this goes on every night, and sometimes worse than that, you know. And do I want to beat myself up for it? No, but I want to get the willingness. I keep on asking God for the willingness to be willing. You know, all day long, and speak to my friends. I mean, I don't know. It's like my disease won't get off my back. But anyway, I want to get my phone number because I really need some help. I want to go down the drain here. Anyway, my number is 646-584-4483. I'm done. Pass.
Thank you, Elaine G. Lauren H., will you share with us this morning?
Hi, this is Lauren H. From Los Angeles. Gosh, I'm so glad to share. I've never shared on the line, but this paragraph speaks to me so much. And just thanks to everyone that does service in this meeting. So much gratitude. Yeah. This is a WE program, this entire abstinence that I read from this paragraph. I've been in the program for years, and I thought that I put down my alcoholic ingredients, but it took the WE in this program and somebody that was recovered for a long time to really help me figure out a key ingredient that I was missing. And when I, 12 weeks ago, I just thought of this, 12 weeks ago, 12 pounds ago, 12 steps ago, I was in a lot of pain. My mom just died, and I was ready to really let go of it all. And I was able to hear new alcoholic ingredients and put them down. And then I was unblocked. I was able to with a recovered sponsor. That's amazing. She read me the big book, and I heard it, and I let God in. I let God entirely into my life. and my life's forever changed, but that I was missing that one key ingredient that I couldn't do alone. I couldn't figure out alone. I needed the we of this program. And with God's, you know, timing. So I'm just, my heart is just beyond grateful. And yep, I'll pass. Thanks so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Lauren H. Beautiful share. And we're so sorry for your loss. Sherry H.M., will you please share with us this morning?
Good morning. This is Sherry H.M. from Washington State. Wow, what a miracle. I remember it was August 17th of 2014, and I met someone from the program. She shared her experience, strength, and hope, and how God had released her from all of her foods for many years and 55 pounds later, whatever. And on the way home from Starbucks, I just, you know, threw up my hands, so to speak. I told God, I'm just so tired of all the medical bills. I had like $13,000 to $16,000 a year out of pocket for lupus and ankylosing spondylitis. And I thought, well, maybe the food thing would help if I could get it, you know, under control. And I just gave up control to God and just said, man, you're going to have to help me. I cannot do this. I'm at the end of myself. And so one day at a time, that turned out to be my last day of, you know, having alcoholic foods. And I'm so very, very grateful. I listen to these podcasts so often, got a sponsor, and listen to you guys, and I used the phone till it practically wore out every time I had, you know, cravings. And I'm so very grateful. Thank you all, and thanks for your service.
Well, thank you, Sherry H.M. And now we'll have Margo P., and I just want to remind everybody, right after Margo P., we'll be opening up the lines for more people to share. Go ahead, Margo.
Hi, everyone. My name is Margo, compulsive eater. Grateful to make it on this call today. And my recovering, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you just fine.
Oh, all right. I just grateful that I'm on this call. Thanks for everyone to share experience, strength, and hope, because I needed that today. And I'm grieving. I'm going through some feelings, and I don't want to eat over. It's been 2 weeks already abstinent. I lost a son. You know, I've been going to places out there, putting gas in gas station, you know, where my son used to hang out, 7-Eleven. And he passed away, 7-Eleven is like these trigger places. Oh, my God, I don't want to go in and eat. I don't. I said, oh, my higher power, help me to get through this feeling. Help me get through this feeling. Because 7-Eleven reminds me in 7-Eleven where he passed away. And he was also a recovery compulsive eater and AA recovery. But I'm just grateful that he died sober. And for me, it's to continue staying sober. And it's been 2 weeks already. And my sponsors kept saying, hang in there. Call. Do your work. Read the book, turn to a step 11 all the time, connect with your higher power. You know, where this program, the book says about, of course, an alcoholic ought to be free from his physical. And I want to be free from the physical of diseases and sickness, you know, because of my family that runs in diabetes. And so, you know, I used to crave a lot when it comes to sugar, you know, and I never gone to a treatment center or hospital place. But, I had to go to a psychological, which is going to support group meetings. And then that's where I found OA at the beginning, a long time ago in Boston. And here I'm coming back again, you know, in and out, but still recovering, you know. And so that's my measure of my day today, because it's the part of recovery that I need. And to continue my journey is recovery, not to go and binging or eat food that's alcoholic. And so I have my sponsor, and she says, you know, call me all the time. And that's great that I have other people who support me. I work at home right now. I started a new job, and it's so nice to be home. But, you know, thank God I don't have the alcoholic food in my house, because if not, I would have probably open up those cabinets, you know. And that's where I'm at today. You know, I get to be on the call and then get to do my work. So thank you, everybody, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Margo P., and we're sorry for your loss. At this time, I'd like to open up the lines if anyone would like to share. We're on in the doctor's opinion, page XXVII, the very bottom of the page, starting with, of course, an alcoholic. Paragraph 8, reading through that one paragraph only. Who would like to share this morning? And I wanted to remind you, too, that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience, too. Who would like to share this morning?
Tiffany P.
Was that Chris?
Tiffany P.
Oh, Tiffany P. Thank you. Who else would like to share?
Hi, Janice. I'd like to share.
Janice? And what's your initial, Janice?
M. Janice M.
Very good. Mm.
Thank you.
Thank you. Who else would like to share?
Juanice N.
Juanice N.
Irene B.
Irene B. Let's go with that lineup. We have Margot P., Tiffany P., Janice M., Juanice N., and Irene B. Go ahead, Margot P.
I start Margot one. P. It's Margot P. I shared a little while ago.
I'm sorry.
But I can share again.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's Tiffany P. Go ahead, Tiffany. Thank you.
Hi.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. Thank you so much for your service, and thank you to everyone on the line who shared. I love, just ditto to what everyone has said before me, of course. But the portion of this paragraph that stands out to me is the last part, before psychological measures can be of maximum benefit, right? Of course, that means I need to put down the food before the steps, before getting into the step work in order for them to truly be of maximum benefit. And for years, I heard there was this back and forth when I first came to program of, you can be in the food and working the steps will get you abstinent, or you have to be abstinent before, or, there was a lot of debate. This paragraph takes me back to when I came back to program in 2016 and began working with a sponsor and got abstinent. And I remember just a couple weeks into abstinence, I probably was only on step 2 or 3, having a moment of clarity and just realizing how clear-headed and clear-minded I felt, and how quickly I was able to think and how connected I felt. And I hadn't even, gotten into the true action steps of the step work. And I remember thinking, like, if I'm feeling this clear-headed now and I haven't even gotten to the stuff in my inventory and been able to release that, who knows how much better I'm going to feel once I do that work. And so that's what I try to share with my sponsees now, the importance of putting the food down, the necessity to put the food down, is that so we can go into the step work as clear-minded as possible, so that we can release, those blocks that are blocking us from our higher power that is ultimately going to sustain our recovered abstinence, because that's ultimately what we're searching for and going to give us a new foundation to live, so I don't have to keep running back to the food to get that effect. I know later in the book it talks about we eat for the effect. If I'm continuing to eat, then I'm not going to be searching out a higher power to get that effect. And so in order for these psychological measures, aka the 12 steps, to really take their hold into, to go from my head to my heart, I have to be clear of the food first. And I found that out firsthand, and it's really been true for me. So I just wanted to share that. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Tiffany P. And now we'll have Janice M. Would you share with us, please, followed by Juanice N.
Hi, Janice M., member of OA. Can I be heard? I'm not sure.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, good. Oh, my gosh. I'm so grateful for this meeting. I'm blown away by the how principled this meeting is. And I missed the reading, but doesn't matter. I've listened to the shares. And, yeah, that's exactly, they say once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. And I have to say, I really like how the folks on this meeting are referring to their alcoholic food. I am an alcoholic. I wouldn't take it that far to put it on the same, if I'm sober, there's still hope. But, and it's so funny also, everything that I have experienced lately, I've gained a few pounds, and not happy about that because I'm always trying to go the other way. And there's been tremendous progress. I was introduced to the 12 steps and another fellowship, and whether I'm eating or not, I have continued that practice, and I can't even imagine where I'd be without it. However, that being said, and it's already been mentioned in this meeting, I'm just going to say, cheese is like, I have never had I know it's on some people's food plan, and my hat is off to you. I take a bite of cheese and I'm going and I'm buying those big round wheels. It's like, I gotta, can you give me a deal kind of thing? And there's not enough. And it's just pure fat and salt. What do I expect? So, I have every little trick in the book. Don't keep it in the house. Don't keep it in my environment. But you know what? I've got the energy to go get my shit if I want it. So there goes that idea. So there has to be something more powerful, and it tells us that, yes, later on it tells us we're going to be in situations where we're exposed, in this case alcohol, but in our case food. And so, and I've had great reprieves. I've had tremendous reprieves. My first OA meeting was in 1974, but, I had to kind of get back to the basics. It's never, as I've shared with my other friend in OA, it never goes away. We get it gets to go to sleep mode, the eating, the overeating, the craziness, the cravings. I can put it on sleep mode, or airplane mode. It gets muted down, but it doesn't, the tendency to just with the foods that just set me off. And my husband he loves this certain kind of bread, and he eats like 3 sandwiches a day. There's nothing I can do about it. And, oh, we can't have that bread in the house, And I'm looking at bread right now, and it's like that bread caused such incredible pain in my gut. That pain, it's like, oh, yeah, I don't want that pain. But I'll go find some other bread, So I really need a break from this. I know what works for me, and as long as my brain doesn't give me an opinion about, like, nutrients or how much I should be eating and all this nonsense, I'm fine. So I trust and hope and trust that today will be
free
of this. Thank you.
Thank you, Janice M. We'll now have Juanice N., followed by Irene B. Good morning, Juanice.
Good morning. My name is Juanice N., and I'm in Southern California. I'm a compulsive overeater on my road to recovery. And I'm sharing today to tell on myself and in hopes of helping the surrender process to intensify in my life. When I read the reading today, and it said to be of maximum benefit, and that's what I want. I really want the greatest, the highest, the most intense possible, the most permitted relationship that I can have with my God that I can possibly get. And and I know that that's not what I'm, and I'm, of course, through the steps. But I know that that's not going to happen unless I let go of one thing, and that is the television set. I've been struggling with the television set since I came to too, because this is the first program I've ever been in that mentioned food behaviors, and I've been in them all. But the food behavior part had to really let me see how I laid in the bed, and I used to eat all my meals laying in the bed watching TV. So I gave up laying in the bed watching TV, and I know I needed, and I gave up eating my meals in front of the TV, eating my meals in front of the TV, and falling asleep watching the TV. Because I watch the TV for the effect, but it brings back that ease and comfort, the same that I got from my alcoholic foods, and it's definitely a food behavior. And I've taken two of the three back. And so the only one I'm not doing is still not eating while not laying in the bed eating my meals. So this tells me right here that I'm not going to get the maximum benefit. And I'm the kind of person, believe me, if I'm going to do something that's going to cause any kind of sacrifice, I'm going to want the maximum benefit. I don't want the minimum. I don't want the mediocre. You know, I want the maximum. And it is so hard for me, a single woman, to come home to my house at night and not turn on that TV. So I'm willing. I'm praying for rich strength and power because I'm going to need it. But I'm willing to surrender that today. And thank you for listening. And I'll pass.
Thank you, Juanice N. Irene B., will you share with us this morning?
Fully recovery and bulimic from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I just had to share today because I have a little bit more clarity and with regard to a lot of different things. And my experience, strength, and hope is probably a little bit different from most. I don't know. I was in 4 inpatient and 4 outpatient treatment centers, the inpatient for months at a time, and I was never able to recover from bulimia. And from the get-go, all the therapists, 35-plus therapists have said that I needed to get in touch with my feelings before I could even start doing any work. So, and that I could never do that as long as I was in the food. So I've been out of the food for 40 months now, praise be to God. And so I'm beginning to get in touch with my feelings. And I've been working on that for 35-plus years. And before I can address how I feel, I have to feel it. I have to be aware of how I feel. And that is, I didn't even know. I thought I was totally in touch with my feelings. I thought I was full of emotion. But the reality from what everybody told me was that I needed to get in touch with my feelings. How crazy is that? And so the concept of having to put down the food is not a new concept for me. But it just goes to show how this thing of having to put down your alcoholic foods and food behaviors is so critical to our well-being so that we stop disassociating, so that we stop numbing ourselves with substances and behaviors, escaping from feelings that we can't handle. We just can't handle the buildup of human emotion. So I just wanted to share that. It just seemed important to me to say that that I needed to get in touch with my feelings in order to even begin the healing process. So to say that this is a journey is the understatement of the year, and I'm just grateful to God that at this age I'm finally able to go on this journey, and with that I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Irene B. And thank you to everyone who shared this morning and for everyone who gave service. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Donna W. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only and keep you until then.
Hi, this is Donna W. calling in from Palo Alto, California. Gratefully clean and sober today. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.